chapter 15:14, bound by new rules. Out of all the werewolves that remained, Luzon was perhaps the strongest left from the Lupus pack, and as one of the Iron Fangs, he carried a natural weight of authority over the rest. And after seeing him effortlessly take down one of their own, none of them doubted that authority anymore. If Luzon and a large portion of their remaining numbers agreed to surrender, then what chance did the few who still wanted to fight think they had? Even if they tried, how could they possibly see a path to victory now? That was until they heard a cry. Arghchate, the iron-masked werewolf, once Ilva's silent shadow and now unmasked, let out a guttural, feral scream. His body trembled, his claws tearing lines into the shattered stone, muscles twitching like cords about to snap. Damn it! Is that Ilva's plaything? Luzon thought grimly as he reached over his shoulder and pulled his bow from its strap. His eyes narrowed, instincts screaming. That thing only ever listened to her. And now that she's gone, he didn't hesitate. Luzon drew and fired several arrows in rapid succession, the force of his bowstring cracking like a whip each time. The first arrow struck deep into the iron-masked werewolf's shoulder. Blood burst out in a crimson spray, even though the arrows themselves were made of compressed force, nearly invisible to the naked eye. The impact alone was enough to crack the ground beneath him. But when the next few arrows came, the iron-masked werewolf spun suddenly, his claws flashing, slashing through the air and breaking the invisible incoming projectiles apart. Even Luzon's eyes widened slightly at that. "Wait," Innu's voice rang out. "Don't kill him, subdue him. Help subdue him." Zin and Marie exchanged a quick look. Both of them were still in their Luna forms, their power surging through their veins, their bodies far from spent. They didn't know why Innu was insisting they spare this monster. But they trusted him. That was enough. They lunged forward at the same time. The iron-masked werewolf swung his claws viciously toward Marie's stomach, but her moonlit barrier flashed and absorbed the blow, the shockwave rippling harmlessly around her. Zin took a brutal kick to the midsection that forced the air from her lungs, but she dug her claws into the ground and pushed through it, grabbing his leg and yanking it out from under him. The werewolf crashed to the ground. Zin pounced instantly, one hand clamping around his throat. The iron-masked werewolf thrashed violently, his massive arms flailing. Marie dove in, seizing both of his wrists. She locked her grip with every ounce of her strength as she realized what Zin was doing, choking him out. He snarled, kicked, struggled. But Zin's grip only tightened, until at last his body went limp. Standing off to the side, Blake watched the scene silently. He was leaning on his swords just to stay upright, his face pale and sweat-soaked, but his eyes stayed locked on the captured werewolf. He didn't move. He didn't try to speak. He didn't even know how to react. This was tied to him, but right now he couldn't understand how or what he was supposed to do. Innu ran over, his breathing heavy. "Thank you," he said quickly. "If he gets back up, you're going to have to subdue him again." The iron-masked werewolf was clearly wounded and drained, yet despite that, his resistance had shown just how powerful the Luna forms were, especially when Zin and Marie worked together like this. As the tension settled, Luzon gave a sharp command for all remaining Lupus werewolves to gather up behind him. It was a clear message. They were done fighting. They wanted everyone to see their surrender was genuine. Meanwhile, the injured members of the Howlers were escorted back into the wrecked restaurant. Some were limping, others carried. Emergency medical staff had been called, and the distant sound of approaching sirens could now be heard through the broken streets as ambulances rushed toward them. Soon, all of the surviving corps members of the Howlers regrouped outside the restaurant. They stood together, battered and ragged, their bodies aching but their minds heavy with the same question. "Does anyone know what happened to Gary?" "We just saw him disappear," Marie answered. "Along with Kai and Lupus." "We have no idea where they are." "Then who's going to talk to the others?" someone asked quietly. "With Kai and Gary gone, who's left in charge here?" The words sank like stones. Realistically, the only ones left who could take that role were Austin or Innu, but neither of them were trusted to make the right choices when it came to anything outside of fighting, and so naturally all eyes turned to Marie. "Me?" she asked weakly, her voice cracking, but no one said otherwise. So she swallowed hard, steeling herself, and they walked together as a unit across the ruined field toward where Luzon stood waiting for them. Marie wasn't truly alone. She could feel everyone's presence behind her, their quiet support at her back, but it still felt like the heaviest walk she had ever taken. "Now that you've surrendered, what do you plan to do?" Marie said finally, her tone hard. After everything that's happened here, we can't just let you go back to Ruined City. Not until we find out what happened to Gary and Kai. We can stay here until then, Luzin replied calmly, and we won't cause any trouble. We know we lost this war. He glanced briefly at the destruction around them. I'm sure we have bigger problems to discuss anyway, especially with both of our alphas gone. Marie gave a small nod. She could tell he was being honest, but something about it still felt uneasy. From his tone, Luzin truly didn't know what had happened to the three missing alphas either. Hey, we can't just do this, Innu said suddenly, his voice tight. These werewolves betrayed us. They swore they weren't going to fight us, and then they killed so many of our allies, so many people who had families, friends. It's the same for us, Luzin interrupted firmly. His eyes were cold, but his voice was steady. You can complain about the circumstances all you want, but the fact is, right now, we've surrendered. That means we no longer wish to fight. You might have been fine taking our lives when it was for survival, but do you really think your group has it in their hearts to kill those who have no will to fight anymore? His words hung in the air. The howlers fell silent. They were too soft-hearted for that. Even if none of them said it aloud, Marie knew it was true. Carrying the weight of something like that, executing people who had surrendered would break them, especially when whoever was in charge was only in a temporary role. There is a way for you to trust us, Luzin said at last. The group tensed as his gaze swept over them. The color of all your eyes, he said, it means your alpha and ours are still alive somewhere, but regardless of that, for some reason you have two Lunas standing in front of you. You can bring us all over to your pack. We'll be bound by your pack's rules. That way, you'll know we would have no choice but to be loyal to you. Chapter 1515. The First Conversion. Crawley, along with the White Rose team and the AFA members like Numba, Ian, and Izzy, were working tirelessly to help the howlers inside the ruined restaurant and out in the parking lot. The smell of scorched wood and dried blood still hung in the air as they moved between the wounded and the dead. Bodies were being lined up in rows outside the building, laid out carefully on the cracked pavement. Said Frank and Vlad flew back and forth in silence, carrying them in one by one from the scattered areas of the battlefield. Each time they landed, their faces were drawn, their movements slower. They were trying to make it easier later for the investigators, for the families, to know who had lived and who had not. When the police and ambulances eventually arrived, they would take over. They would tag and collect the bodies, begin the grim paperwork, and send out letters and phone calls that would shatter lives far beyond this blood-soaked place. It was a crushing task for all of them. As the Howler members gathered the dead and tended to the wounded, the weight of what they had done began to settle like cold ash. Had they actually won? On paper, it sounded like they had. But with so many lives snuffed out, it didn't feel like any victory they had imagined. There was no celebration, no shouts of triumph, only a heavy, suffocating quiet. Meanwhile, just outside the ruined front wall, several of the survivors had gathered in a loose circle. They were speaking in low voices about what came next, the future pressing on them even while the past still clung to their hands like blood. "We can really do that?" Zin asked, her brow furrowed. "Theirs, a way to integrate one pack into another." "There is," Luzin replied calmly, his voice steady as if the carnage behind them didn't faze him at all. "But there are certain conditions that must be met. For one, only a Luna can perform such an act. Not even an alpha of another pack can do it unless they are turning an Omega Wolf. That's why we know your alphas are still alive. If they weren't, every one of you would have turned into Omegas by now. An alpha isn't something that's simply reborn on the spot when one dies. Regardless, this ritual is something only a Luna can do." Marie's arms were folded, her expression doubtful. "But if that's true, couldn't Ilva have done it to us already? Just snuck in and turned everyone to her side?" "You're right to question it," Luzin said with a faint nod. "It's not that simple. Each member of a pack has their own will, their own instincts and pride. The Luna's ability can't override that completely. The Luna plays a crucial role during battles between alphas, especially in the old ways, but there's a condition. The person must be willing to be claimed. If they're not willing, the Luna's power won't work." "Willing?" Zin echoed, frowning. "That seems like an impossible condition. How are we supposed to know if any of them are actually willing to change sides? Maybe, deep down, none of the Lupus Wolves truly wanted this. Maybe they were only staying calm because they were too beaten down to resist." Luzin let out a low, amused laugh. "A person's will isn't as strong as you think," he said. "You can make someone willing. Beat them until their will to resist shatters and the desire to stop the pain will make them submit. If none of them step forward on their own, I can help with that part." A thin, unsettling smile curved across his face as he said it, and several of the others instinctively shifted their stance. "You can change me first," Luzin went on, unbothered. "Once I join you, the rest will follow. There's no doubt in my mind. Place your hand on my head and with your will bring me over to your side." Zin and Marie exchanged a wary glance. Was it a trap? Could this be a trick? But looking around at the ragged, blood-stained survivors on both sides, they knew there wasn't space left for tricks. "You should do it, Zin," Marie said quietly. "Kai made me promise that we wouldn't add anyone new to our pack, and I still plan to keep that promise. If this works, you should be the one to bring them over. It might be the only way to stop any future struggles." Zin nodded faintly. She still wasn't sure it was fair, but they were a team. Even if Marie technically belonged to another pack by werewolf law, they were both howlers in spirit, and they both wanted to protect what was left. She stepped closer and placed her hand gently on Luzin's head. Closing her eyes, Zin let her breathing slow as she focused inward. She reached for the well of energy inside her, drawing it up and outward, thinking about pulling this stubborn, dangerous man over to her side. She pictured their energies merging, their bonds reshaping. And then she felt it. A warmth, like a thread swirling between them and a strange, radiant glow building where their powers met. The air buzzed faintly around them. When Zin opened her eyes and pulled her hand back, she could sense it instantly. The tension that had been radiating from Luzin had vanished. He had joined the pack. "You're quite a quick learner," Luzin said, smiling with faint approval. "I thought we'd have to go through that a few times. Now, let's continue with the rest, and then we can figure out what to do from there, once we're sure none of us are going to slit each other's throats." The words were spoken so casually it made a few of them stiffen, but Luzin just kept smiling as if he hadn't said anything strange at all.